Today on the Cooligans, we got the Cooligies. That's right. We're doing end of year awards, but in the middle of the season. Trust me, it makes sense. Are we running out of things to talk about the S tiers? Absolutely not.
We also talk Gold Cup rosters look a little bit different for the USMNT. And we also look at US Women's National Team, how they did in these two friendlies, and Lola Bonta getting her debut. What to look forward to. We analyze it all this and more today on the Cooligans.
I really want like an old car.
Okay.
But I, one, do not know how to fix them. Two, probably can't afford to fix one. Mm-hmm. And I have no place to put it. But I still look at them. Like I still will go online and look at them. I'm like, oh, that's a good deal. For no reason. I say this to no one. I say it to Donna and she's like, cool. Good job. Good job finding another great deal. And there's no reason for any of this yet. I'm still looking.
Yeah. I mean, I saw something recently about people who are have like a shopping addiction, but it isn't the, it's not the buying that they're excited about, it's the researching. So this is like, I think somebody,
people are researching like shirts.
Yeah, 100% they're researching. I think this also comes from a lot of like buying like household products or stuff for babies. I mean, when
you know what immediately spring to mind, people who buy like of things that make your life more efficient in like the kitchen or whatever.
Right.
Like these people who like will go buy 100 whatever, you know, trail mixes and then take them out of the box and put and them
organize
in like
them
drawers. Like, what are you doing? Where'd you get these drawers?
Well, it's become like,
you got a trail mix drawer? Yo, your life. No, you don't live in this world. You saw this online somewhere. And now you think this is going to be my house. It ain't. Because right behind that drawer is dust and a dead roach. You ain't living like that.
Yeah, there's a, that's like, to me, that looks like an untreated OCD, you know, because people, right. And there's also something, the content around it is also weirdly satisfying, like seeing everything organized in these,
Remember, like, these clear boxes. Remember when Tumblr had like things fitting inside other things?
Yes, yes.
That's one of my porn. That, you know
what I mean? That's what the internet. We're all out of ideas.
There was one where a tennis ball perfectly fit in a hole in a wall, and I was like, "We did it, folks." This is what I've been begging to see.
We're going into the deepest recesses of our brains to find something.
Get it out of there. Show me that.
We can't. We're not thinking about that. But what you need to do before you get an old car is get a house. You live in Brooklyn, bro. You need a driveway.
You believe in a house, bro?
You need a driveway.
Well, you think property is a smart move? Do you see what's happening in this world?
I'm just saying, for the
stuff American dream is alive, folks. It's a nightmare.
For the stuff that you want, how about I make more money
and I can afford a parking spot?
Well, okay. Sure. If that's, that's harder to do, but sure.
Then buy a house, a 30-year commitment.
Yes.
Nah, fam.
That's easier to do.
You gotta wait till the market crashes. Okay. And then when I say that to my wife. And then when the market crashes, I go, we can't spend money now. The market just
crashed. Alexa's gonna have a 1935 Model T doing alternate side parking.
That's what I want. Going, awooga, awooga, whenever you walk by. That's what I want.
Well, best of luck with that.
Thank you. I think I'll get it.
All right.
No, I won't.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here. We are, as always, on Yahoo Sports. I mean, a beat should be dropping any second. Because it's at the very least, that should be Carter's producer.
Which,
tag.
By the way, I got a bone to pick with. Some of the clips you'd be taking out on my sound, bro. On the socials.
That's right. Some of the editors, they may not always prioritize.
No, what do you mean may not always prioritize? They almost specifically remove it. Do I be going ham? Yes.
Are they gonna put those sounds in the clip? Probably not. So, but yeah, it is what it is. They do great work. We love.
They do
our
great work. Thank
Yahoo,
you,
clip editors.
Put the sounds in. The board is here for a reason.
Okay, these are just.
Well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna mix it with my audio so that you can't take it out. Wow.
All right, there's like three people who know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, dog.
Welcome to the show. Today we're gonna go over some major. We're gonna talk about Major League Soccer a lot because it is the middle of the season.
God, Major League Soccer!
Shout out Kevin Cho for providing that clip editor. Include
right?
Kevin Cho.
No, because if not, that's about 2.5 seconds of silence.
The context of the joke is completely
right?
gone. If you
no one knows what we're talking about right now. We remove the audio.
So we're going to be doing our MLS mid-season awards. Uh-huh. We are, 17 games in. We're right in the midway point. So this is a good opportunity to do that. We're also going to talk some USMNT a little bit later on the show.
Go.
And some U.S. Women's National Team who played two matches.
U.S. Soccer, baby.
As well. But let's get going with Major League Soccer. Also, the All-Star break is coming up in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we're all, you know, we got to get our votes in too. But let's get right to it. Let's give our teams of the midseason.
Let's go. So imagine this was the end of season awards, but way too early. Okay.
Exactly.
This is the awards for up till now, so far.
Exactly.
So team of the season so far.
So like just like some people search for old cars
yes.
online. Some people they want to know what do coolers think midway through the MLS mm-hmm. season. So are we going to show them on screen? We are going to show them on screen. Shout out to Yahoo.
They're doing everything right.
They're adding
that
so
audio.
We got to get Alexis's team of the season. So let's get right to it.
This is my 11. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, right? All right, so here's my starting 11. Now, this was not easy, okay? Because sure. there were some difficult choices and some that I felt deserved the shout. So let's go with goalkeepers. I'm going to go with Dane St. Clair, the most amount of clean sheets. The guy's killing it this season so far.
Minnesota, in general, are playing a very, very defensive game.
Yeah.
And I just want to give the shout out because they're basically not possessing the ball at all.
They don't want it.
They don't want the ball.
They're like, you play.
You play soccer.
Yeah.
We'll watch you.
And then in the moment where you stop playing soccer real quick, then we'll stop playing soccer.
And so to be able to do that against teams that do have the ball. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is a shout. To have 8 clean sheets is a good shout for Dane St. Clair. I get it.
Yeah. Right. So you got to give them credit where they deserve it. So for the back line, I'm going with Antonio Freeman's son. Let's go.
That's his name.
Yeah. that's how I'm calling him. Now, Alex Freeman is a beast and I think he deserves it. And he's one of those players where there was another player that I was going to put in here and he didn't end up making it. So I guess I could say it in Ajiman where I'm like, there's something about these players where I'm like, you stand out in a way that we're not really sure just yet.
Ajiman is obviously not in that position, but
no,
Ajiman
another
in general,
player that didn't make my 11.
Got it.
Where I'm like, there's something about you that's special. Alex Freeman did make it, but just physically a beast. And I'm like, there's something, once you really fully figure out this game, you're going to be unstoppable. So sure. Alex Freeman makes it out of mine. Obviously, Tristan Blackman, I got Glesnes, Kai Wagner. Quite possibly the best left back in the whole league. For me, Sebastian Brohalter and Diego Luna. Sebastian Brohalter, I know we're doing just MLS, but he's played so well across the whole beginning of the season that I think he deserves that shout. Diego Luna, I think, has taken it to another level, become much more of a leader. Team ain't doing so well, but I think he's really positioning himself as probably the next move out of this league as far as an American-born player.
Sure.
And then Lionel Messi. I did not put Lionel Messi in there. Some people think maybe he shouldn't belong in there, and I get that. For me, I wedged him in there because he's Lionel Messi. I did not have him in the best 11. Christian Espinoza and Denny Bawanga, of course, and Ty Baribo. Bro, you've got the most goals in the league.
He's making it look easy.
You're absolutely crushing. I'm happy with this. I don't know that there's anyone where I'm like, I wish... blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty happy with what this looks like.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you'll see the differences in my team of the season because maybe you'll have disagreements with mine, but let's look at Christian Polanco's better 11 than Alexis's.
I think that's not the official name.
Okay. I'll start at goalkeeper as well. Yohei Takaoka for Vancouver Whitecaps. The Vancouver Whitecaps are having one of the best seasons that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And yes, they did get smacked in the CONCACAF Champions Cup final, but in Major League Soccer, they've been fantastic. And Takaoka has just one less clean sheet than Dane St. Clair. So, I think it's given how the team is doing, I think Takaoka deserves to be there. Alex Freeman, I agree with. Tristan Blackman, I agree with.
I also agree with your choice here.
Okay. The other center back, Justin Hack. This is
almost got into my team.
So I think when you look at the numbers based on compared to the other center backs in the league, it's not it's harder to make a case for Justin Hack, but Justin Hack is also incredibly versatile. He has played as center back. He has played as the six, the defensive midfielder. So,
and he's really good going forward because of that.
Two assists as well, and playing in different positions. You know, every single game, he's asked to do a lot. He can start the game at center back and finish the game in the midfield. So because of that versatility, that's why he's on my best 11 in
mid-season. I know you just wedged him in because we love him and we think he's a great player. And he certainly deserves to be considered a shout. But for me, he was a honorable mention.
Okay, that's fair. Obviously, Messi's going to be there because it's ridiculous to not put him there. Carles Hill is, I think, a player who has stepped up on a team that didn't have a good start at all. And then David Da Costa at the Timbers is, he's been fantastic. I think he has like six assists and maybe two goals, something like that. But he is a player that has joined the league and has been, the Timbers paid a lot of money to bring him in, but he's also just been incredibly dynamic. And you could, this iteration of the Timbers looks a lot more fun than even last season's.
I'm surprised that they look this fun. Yeah.
And the results, they're not super consistent, and maybe that's on Phil Neville a little bit. But
that's why I'm surprised. It looks
but
fun.
The team itself looks great. Now my front three, which this is not really left wing. I couldn't decide on positions. I'm like, these are the players that have to be in.
Whatever,
there.
Y'all try to score.
Yeah,
it.
You figure it out. However you want to play. But Brian White for the Whitecaps, just
absolutely
almost unstoppable season, been fantastic. Anthony also for the Timbers. I think he has like five goals and a few assists as well. Another player that again makes the Timbers just really, really fun and exciting to watch. And then also Ty Baribo. What the Union have done this season after Jim Curtin, which a lot of people didn't really know what to expect.
Bradley Carnell, bro.
Riley Carnell has done a great job. So, yeah, that's my mid-season 11 in Major League Soccer.
Funny enough, the two Union players for me were the easiest choices.
Sure.
Kai Wagner and...
And they've always, for years, they've always been incredibly reliable. And yeah. Kai Wagner, it's interesting with... it's usually him and like Danu Gazdag that are like the identities of the team. And Gazdag left and... they haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, new system, new coach, new style. As much as we love Jim Curtin, I'm glad that it's going well for all of our friends that are Union fans.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to some of the individual awards. Right. Most valuable, Landon Donovan, most valuable player.
Right. So this again, up in the season up until now, up until the midpoint so far for me, the MVP. Because why choose anyone else?
Remember, go ahead.
It's a vote, right? Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be Messi. So if I was putting money, just say it's Messi.
For the midseason, it feels a little weird to pick Messi because he hasn't really he didn't do what he did last season.
Nope.
They've had really long stretches. He has had really long stretches without like goal contributions. You know, I mean, really long, meaning like four games or something like that. But so it's odd because last season he missed a lot of games through injury, still won MVP. But this season he is playing in those games and
he's not getting all the stats.
But
we have to decide, what do we mean by valuable?
Right,
valuable to the team, valuable to the league, valuable as in he's in the league and so the fans are watching, valuable in the sense that when he's on the pitch, defenders are drawn to him naturally and he creates space for everyone else. To me, it just doesn't make sense to say anyone other than Messi. And I don't care if people think like, oh, it's Hack or whatever. he's just valuable in every shape. Every time the camera hits him, I hear cha-ching. So as far as I'm concerned,
okay, so yeah,
he's the most valuable.
Yeah, there's not much we can do to change your mind if that's going to be your barometer.
I understand the argument for someone else. Who do you have?
I have Ty Burebo.
Makes sense. That's fair.
Just again, the what he's bringing. 13 starts, 13 goals, one assist. The numbers are better for Messi, but it's looking like just moving forward that he's just going to be an important part to almost every single goal that is scored by the Philadelphia Union. Yeah. And I had seen
he's on pace to what? Like score 32, like to break the record, right?
I don't know.
We have to look at basically. Yeah, I mean, he's got a goal per start.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I had seen an interview, I think one of the post-game interviews or something like that, and it might have been like Weeby or somebody asked him about his ambition, like what goals does he have for the season? And he's like, I want to win the Golden Boot. And I think they were asking him like, well, like how many goals do you have it like in mind every season? And he's like, there's a certain amount of goals I have in mind. And they're like, all right, well, how many is it? He's like, I'm not telling you. Like, it's just like a little secret.
Tell you that?
Just a little secret personal number. Yeah. But he's been fantastic. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. How about coach of the year?
I went with Bradley Carnell. How do you not have him in as your coach of the year? And sure. I'm saying that because I know you picked someone different. For me, I mean,
you have to be a complete idiot, stupid dummy,
numbskull, which I know is the term you haven't heard. But again, look, a 10-4-3 record, just for the fact that Philadelphia Union, we talk about this all the time, the job that Jim Curtin did without, you know, the money, without the ability to go out and get more players, without the ability to just spend in the positions you need, to have to build a better team with just the ingredients you have. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Bradley Carnell, someone who, after his stint at St. Louis City, I don't know that I would have really trusted him with another team. And he seemingly has found that other piece, that other level that was missing in his time in St. Louis. He's found a way to make another team look really, really good. And it doesn't feel as erratic as it did. It feels like there's an adjustment that has been made. And for me, there was a couple coaches that first shot, and I think you picked one of them that I was really considering. But for me, I mean, with what Bradley Carnell has done, considering what he has available to him, absolutely incredible.
I would argue Bradley Carnell has more tools available to him he walked into a project that wasn't chaotic, right? The Union weren't winning and getting winning trophies and stuff like that, but they were in a good, the foundation was there.
He walked into a project that got stale. The guy you picked walked into a project that was already doing well.
I don't really agree with that. They were doing okay. It was like they were promising signs, but this season. So my selection.
Right, which I don't think you could say about Philly towards the end, but go ahead.
Was Jesper Sorensen, coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. Again, nobody.
Remove CONCACAF Champions Cup from your brain.
Even without that, it's still incredibly impressive what he's been able to do, and just in you know a couple matches and losing, you know, they traded they didn't re-sign Fafa Pico,
yeah,
and still players stepped up in those roles. Ryan Gault's injured
and they look
fantastic. So
and to from what Sartini did. To be able to build off of that is really, really impressive. 100%. I almost picked Jesper Sorensen as well. But for me, Bradley Carnell, I think, walked into a situation that I think we all thought would be way more dire this year than he's made it.
Maybe, but...
That's why.
The Whitecaps went from the last...
playoff spot.
Last playoff spot, or like second to last, to being in first in the Western Conference at times and stuff like that. So that, to me, that's an incredible improvement. All right.
Still got in the playoffs.
Next up, newcomer of the year.
Why don't you go first on this one?
Okay, so for me, I'm gonna go with of San Diego FC, Anders Dreyer,
killing it, especially the beginning of the season.
Yeah, obviously, newcomer of the year to a new team, to an expansion team, and so look, 17 starts, 6 goals, 7 assists. I mean, for a new player, obviously he's a DP, but just for somebody new to the league and making this much of an impact, even from the first like 2-3 games, you're like, right. Oh wow, he's a lot of times it's like adapting to this league and blah blah blah. And he's just like, all right, no, I know, not only adapting to the league, adapting to a new team that players have never, they played for like 6-7 weeks together first time. And I think what he's doing is remarkable. So he's my newcomer of the year so far.
I love it when you sign a player and we're like, who? And then he shows up and you're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you saw. And that's exactly who I picked as well. Another San Diego FC player. But I went with Jeppe Tvrskov. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm-hmm. I believe it might be Jeppe. But, I mean, this guy's a defensive midfielder. Look, he doesn't have all of the stats in the world, right? He's got 2 assists. He's got 37 interceptions, which leads in MLS, which is great. And that's all impressive. But for me, it's like when you watch the game, this is the type of player I like to watch. Someone who absolutely shuttles in front of the back line, shields them from any of the stuff coming towards him, and then he's able to take that ball and spring the attack. That, to me, is the type of player that belongs in MLS. We talk about the types of players that we don't always build as a nation, that maybe these TAM and GAM and all these other functions should bring us. It's guys, to me, that like play in the midfield, like Maxi Morales, right? That's not the type of guy you're going to find in MLS academies all the time.
Sure.
This guy is exactly what I'm talking about when it's like that. You don't find a player like this that has that innate ability to just be able to protect the back line, stop every attack that's coming, and shuttle the ball forward. He makes San Diego tick, and it's really fun watching them, and I really love this guy. So for me, he's my newcomer of the year.
All right. Yeah, look, again, what San Diego's doing is quite impressive, and most expansion teams don't have this level of consistency. They might, I mean, you might have like the St. Louis's that are like, whoa, what is this? And then reality has some
playoffs,
in
rough,
the playoffs, and then the following season. All right,
but we'll see. Mikey Varis is proving something to me that I didn't think.
You got to give credit to San Diego because, like, the scouting, because like you just said about
Moneyball, we were
talking about Anders Dreyer. Like, there's a lot of like, who is it? Who?
Yeah, from Copenhagen, I believe.
And then it's like, oh wow, okay. There's leagues I'm not watching that they have good players.
Well, so I believe he was on Nordjylland, and Nordjylland is like one of those teams that like is Moneyball, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So for them to go get him, I'm like, all right, he must be doing some XG stuff I don't know about.
All right. Goal of the year so far. We've had a couple decent ones.
I'm gonna go with Kevin Denke's bicycle kick.
Okay.
To me, this was not easy because I'm not one of these guys that remembers goals. So this was a little difficult
for me. You don't remember goals?
I don't like, remember that goal that week against this guy? I don't remember that kind of stuff. That doesn't, I got so much, guys, I got 1984 Buicks on my brain.
Your mind is full of
this was a goal that I kind of remembered. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh yeah, this was fire.
Yeah.
So this for me is like one of those moments where I'm like, you know, it's against Sporting Kansas City. They were able to keep a clean sheet, but this goal right here, just the setup of this bike. Look at this.
I mean, it's a proper bike, right?
Seriously, bro. That's when we found out how jacked this man is.
No forward needs to be this strong and muscular.
You know when you see like a picture of a guy like performing at a concert, and you're like, you ain't got one song that needs whatever it is you're doing here.
Right.
That's this, bro. You spending too much time in the gym, bro.
It's his traps.
It's bro. Everything, man.
He looks like Bane. That's what I'm saying.
100%, bro. But
what stands out is the traps.
Yeah.
Why are your traps so big, dog?
The chesticles, dog. You guys, you be putting up big dog weight.
Fenwell
can't do this.
Why you need a super, like, is it for the headers?
You're protecting your neck from when you land on them bikes, bro.
But no, that's a fantastic goal this season. All right, I have...
What you got for?
I went in a different direction.
Let me hear what you got.
I went with the boy, Jack McGlynn of the Houston Dynamo, former Philadelphia Union man. But he...
yes.
I was going to say boy again. I'm like, I don't want to use the word boy too much. But no, this is something we're getting... we're sort of used to seeing. He's done this... for the national team, he's done this a few times for the Philadelphia Union.
It's in his locker for sure.
It's in his contract. They're like, bro, you gotta give us a couple of these.
You haven't hit one of them.
I don't know about the celebration. He did the
Paulo Dybala and Jalen Brunson.
And Jalen Brunson, a little combination.
Isn't Jack McGlynn from New York?
He is.
Oh, maybe. So
maybe that's what it
is. Maybe he's a Brunsonite like me.
I love the Brunsonite. It's a new religion. Get on board.
we meet in the playoffs.
Okay. Thibodeau's
he's no longer there. He's been excommunicated from the church.
But Jack McGlynn has, you know, he's done this for a long time, even though he's a young guy. And so I love bicycle kicks. They're lovely. But what Jack McGlynn's able to do in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, at the international level.
No matter where you put
this, I mean, he's banging these balls.
He would do this in the SEC conference. Bro. It doesn't matter where you put him.
Pac-10? don't let Jack in there. It's one of those things where you know what he might do. You know what he's capable of. You cannot stop it. I mean, I'm not going to go as far to say that it is a Lamine Yamal level of type of shot or consistency.
Right.
But it's wild.
How, when it works, it's great.
And again, for such a young player to be able to do that and also often take the shot. It's also not a thing where he takes the shot that often where he misses so much. You're like, Jack, again, you really need to do this. No, it's like when he does, he has a very good chance of scoring.
When he misses, you're like, oh, wow.
Well, okay.
As opposed to the other way around. Yeah.
So that goal, the Texas Derby was fantastic.
All very right. nice. What do we do save of the year?
Okay. Give goalkeeper some love.
Yeah, this also was one of those things that's not always on the top of my mind. So for me, the one I remember specifically was in Houston, Bond saved that super long, midfield shot. Running back, whenever you see this happen, I'm always shocked. I'm like, bro, how you got air going backwards? So you're watching him now get stuck in the net. Though when they replay it, it's absolutely crazy. Just where the shot, when someone looks up and sees the keeper that far away and takes the shot, it's because the keeper's pretty far away. Look at how far this is. This is from the logo. For him to be able to make that save is crazy.
Yeah, this was against FC Dallas.
Yeah, FC Dallas.
And was this the same game? I don't think so.
No. This is...
FC Dallas against, I guess, Houston. Yeah,
yeah, it was against Houston, but
I wonder if it was the same game as the other.
Be
goal.
Hilarious if it was.
But Jonathan Bond, yeah, because these are usually, especially with the goalkeeper falling in that, these are usually the embarrassing moments.
Right. When you're pulling the net out of your boots, you made a mistake.
And who?
But not this guy.
Kayak?
Anderson Julio.
It says, oh, was it Anderson? What was the name on the back of the chair? Oh, it was somebody else, I guess, clapping. So, but an FC Dallas player is clapping. Like, he's like, hey, you know.
Ah, you got that one.
Good on you, bro. But no, fantastic save. Okay, good one. For me, I went with friend of the show, Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry, I've been on the show a couple of times, and this is just a fantastic save. And this is also one of those saves that looks like it's a simple one. This is against Seattle, against Houston Dynamo. Dynamo is just heavily featured in all this.
We love you,
Dynamo. but Stephen Fry is been doing this. How long has he been? Even just with the sound?
40 years.
40, give or take.
Seriously.
But this is a free kick. Dorsey, I believe, gets his head on the ball. And the ball's coming at a rapid pace.
And... his momentum is going in the opposite direction.
Exactly. So he's taking a step because he thinks the header might...
And he's getting up there in age. So for him to be able to do this and not blow both hammies at the same time is pretty great.
So Stephen Fry has been just one of the most reliable goalkeepers in MLS history. Obviously, we know, you know, our first MLS Cup that we attended in Toronto had the legendary save against Jozy Altidore, the header, the classic picture. And this is kind of another, just again, the diving
similar
save.
Yeah. His hand will always find a way.
So shout out to Stephen Fry, always just bringing the heat year after year. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break because we got to get to. There's a couple other midseason awards that we got to get to. Young Player of the Year, Best Moment, Biggest Disappointment.
We got to come up with a name for these awards. The Cooligies.
The Cooligies. All right, sounds cute. So they should be like tiny.
Anyway. It feels like something you could pet for some reason.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everybody. We got to talk some MLS, but before we get to that, just another reminder. I teased it a couple days ago on the other show, but the June 14th Gold Cup opens. Who's playing in that first game?
I believe you're wearing a kit right now.
La República Dominicana, Dominican Republic.
Santo Domingo.
DR is playing against Mexico to open the Gold Cup. It's the first time that Dominican Republic has qualified for the Gold Cup.
Yep.
And I'll be
What are you thinking fan-wise? About 50-50 DR to Mexico?
Yep, so far. Y'all, I need all my California Dominicans to step up.
All
bro.
Eight of you gotta get loud, bro.
Okay, I need you. Bring your secret family to the game.
Yeah, all side pieces. All you gotta get tickets to everybody.
You need to let all the wives know, all the girlfriends. Yeah. Yo, we gotta put all our differences aside right now.
Put them in different sections. You know what I mean? You gotta bounce around.
But no, June 14th, that game is happening. But in New York, in Washington Heights, I'll be hosting a watch party for the game at the Hudson. The game kicks off at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So if you are in New York, if you're a Dominican, you know a Dominican. You know, and you if you're in New York, you know a Dominican.
There's yeah. Yeah, you no might way. Be Dominican without knowing it.
You might be Dominican. All your exes that don't call you, that don't text you back.
Remember that toxic dude who ghosted you? Now text him again because he's going
to
be there.
Let him know to come through. So it's opening at 7 p.m. Kickoff is at 10. It's going to be a party. The leading goal scorer, the leading joint goal scorer right now, he is retired, but Jonathan Fania will also be in attendance. Played for a bunch of Dominican clubs. He played in Panama. Just an absolute legend of Dominican international. Mm-hmm. Really is one of the those first faces of like, oh, this is our guy or whatever. So
he walked so you could run. Is that the way it is, or is it he ran so you could walk?
Vice versa. But in soccer, you do run. So yeah.
All right, whatever. The good one.
So come through. The Hudson in Washington Heights. The address is 378 Dykeman. Come through, bro. It's going to be a really, really dope party. And if like I said before, if there's anything, who knows how DR is going to do. I expect a 3-0 victory, but you know, I could be disappointed. But even if that isn't the case, it's going to be a party. There's going to be music. It's going to be jerseys. That's also another thing. A lot of people always, they see me wearing this jersey. They're like, how did you get it? And I'm like, I had to go through a scout for DR to get it. It's so impossible to get. So they're going to be on sale at the event. So you can get your own Dominican Republic jersey at the watch party. So please come through. It's going to be dope. It's put on by the Dominican Federation. DENOS is the organization putting it on as well, hosting everything. It's going to be dope. So it's going to be music. Crazy. Drinks.
We love Caribbean soccer, and this is a huge opportunity.
Dominicans
to represent.
And soccer just uniting.
And the Cuban Federation is doing a watch along in my mom's house.
It's gonna be lovely.
It's baseball practice, not even soccer. But if you guys want to come to that,
Yankees preseason.
What players can we get on a speedboat?
All right, let's move on to Young Player of the Year in Major League Soccer. Go first.
So there's a little controversy as to whether I'm allowed to choose this player.
That's right.
Because he was last year's Young Player of the Year. He's still young. He's still a player.
He's not younger. So.
No, but he's still under the guy. You have to be 23 years old. He's 23.
I believe it's 22.
You have to be 23 years or younger. And he is 23 years and like 4 days. So, or 47 days. So he's allowed. I'm going with Diego Luna, who I absolutely love. I put him in my best 11. I think he's one of those players that has gotten to the next level. There's something about this guy that we don't find in a lot of American young players. There's a grittiness to his style. You almost think he was in an academy in Argentina the way he plays.
Sure.
And the way he's like, broken nose, I don't need it. Tattoos, give me 17 more.
Tattoo a nose on my nose.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. A non-broken nose on my broken nose. He is... somehow looks 31 and 23 at the same time. I love this guy, Diego Luna. For all the stalky dudes out there, bro, thank you for doing what you did.
Okay. Well, all right. I mean, to me, this pick shouldn't even count because of the age that he is and that he won last year.
He's 23.
Year.
We said the rule for young player was 23.
I believe it's 22, but I could be wrong.
Carter said 23. I'm going with 23.
All right. So.
Carter gave me a thumbs up. You can't hear that. And it sounds like I'm making it up. But he has a microphone in front of him. He refuses to use it. He gave me a thumbs up.
All right. For me, I went of the Chicago Fire, Brian Gutierrez, the attacking midfielder, who is an important part to the Fire for the last few years that he's been playing there.
Triple G trusts him too.
Yeah, an important player for Greg Berhalter. 5 goals with 10 starts and 1 assist. He did get a red card against NYCFC, which was a little unfortunate, little elbow to the face. But
made it better for NYCFC. Though.
It happens from time to time. But he is a player that I think has a very bright future. He's the penalty taker for the Fire, and it's how. And I think he's 20.
To get trusted at that young of an age to be that guy,
a lot of responsibility, and he owns up to it, and he he carries that well, that leadership role well at such a young age. So he's my young player of the year, and maybe in the future for the national team we'll start seeing a little bit more for him.
He's
as well.
Another one of those players that I think has a future outside of MLS.
Okay, yeah. Which I mean, that doesn't mean that MLS is a bad place. You can have a good future in MLS.
No one, I didn't suggest that.
Alexis,
at all.
It's just that the little microaggressions. I don't know what those are about.
All I'm saying is when you move on, we'll really see what you're not gonna... It's like I'm telling a friend, like, I don't hate you. I don't hate your girlfriend. I'm just saying it seems like you guys fight a lot when we go out for wings, you know? Let's move on to the next
best
one.
Best moments.
Okay. This was kind of a ridiculous thing to ask because I'm like, what is that? What does that even mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. Is this best game? Is this like you pan to the crowd and you see like a dad crying and hugging his son? Something you and I have never witnessed personally, you know? Sure. What does that exactly mean? So as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? For me, like the best, something that's not one specific play. So I went with Galesi with his, or Gallese, with his 8 saves to beat the Chicago Fire and keep a clean sheet. That to me felt like an overall moment. It wasn't a goal. It wasn't an assist. You sure. know what I mean? It was like a thing that happened that we can't really categorize elsewhere. 8 saves is crazy. It's not 16 like, you know, Tim Howard had. But to me, it was like, all right, that stands out. It's like a moment where I'm like, bro, this guy's a brick wall.
Okay. Not too much of a complaint there. For me, it was, and best moment to me is just like a combination of like either some drama, feel good moment or humorous, like right. Anything kind of can be in
like
there.
You know when you get French fries and you look in there and there's a there's an onion ring. You didn't order that. That's a great moment. How do you categorize it?
There's no necessarily an award. No, there's no mantle or plaque.
Well, you point at my guy. Hey, thanks for looking out for me, my guy. He's like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I just saw this is relevant only to this, but I saw this video on TikTok of a girl talking about how she went to like a chicken spot and she asked, she wanted all flats.
Yeah.
And
is the move.
They were basically like, oh, no, I don't think we can like promise that or whatever. And then when she got the bag of wings, there was 9 drums and 1 flat. She was like, why? So it's like, because I asked.
Yeah.
Now
you get the opposite. I think a Latin mom was in charge of the fryer that day.
The pettiness.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you're going to make me like individually pick out the flats? All right,
then
fine.
Then you get none of them.
Individually pick out the one you do not want. Anyway, best moment for me is the Philadelphia Union completing the comeback against LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy were up 2-0.
You just put your foot right on them, bro.
And the reason this is the best moment to me, it was just because, again, the drama, the heartbreak. We wanted, even Union fans were like, I mean, let them have this one. A draw, like they can get something or whatever. But the fact that it was like, nah, man, we're gonna
somehow you found a way to really
we're
collapse.
Gonna kick you while you're down,
for real.
And that moment in itself was entertaining.
No
to
wonder
say
you said drama and humor when you.
There's comedy to their failure to some degree, and they finally did get their win. The honorable mention that I didn't put on here was Albert Rusnak scoring a penalty for the Sounders and taking off his shirt, throwing it into the stands celebrating or whatever. And there's still a lot of time in the game, but he throws his shirt in the stands. And then Christian Roldan has to go to the fan and be like, yo, he needs that back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, we're kind of still using that.
Okay. Yeah. We're not done.
We'll get you another one, bro.
But it's just, it's such a, you, I mean, I understand taking off your shirt, but you can't throw it to the crowd.
You really hype for a penalty if you do that. That's crazy.
So that was my best moment. All right. Next up is best kit. Oh, no, sorry. Best, biggest disappointment.
I mean, then LA Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what are we talking about here? Biggest disappointment. How you go from winning MLS Cup to this? We've talked about it ad nauseum. For me, LA Galaxy has been the biggest disappointment this season.
Sure.
Hopefully they turn it around because I'd love to see them in the playoffs. I think it's one of those teams that you, they're a marquee member of MLS. Some would say the biggest club in MLS.
I mean, speaking of moments, if, again, the Galaxy get to the playoffs. Do you saw what Sasha Kljestan said? He said he would shave his head.
He said he would shave his head and dye blonde. So I don't know how you do both.
He's talking about the pubes?
Or? Yeah. Hey, buddy. We're going to see the Sasha and the question? Damn. How good is that green screen technology y'all use?
So, but that would be wild if they did. Okay. So the biggest disappointment for me, and it's probably easy to pick the LA Galaxy, but for the sake of debate and just conversation and moving forward, Atlanta United to me is a very big disappointment given the amount of money they spent, given the support that they've had for years, obviously to go from winning that MLS Cup to just whatever this kind of is right now, where it's just like everything.
It feels very purgatory-ish.
Well, but the bells and whistles are there, right? Like they look like they should be a dominant team.
You got to put it together.
And they're not putting it together.
No, so. And there's something about Miggy where I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's Miggy. It's you know, Ronnie Dyla. It's kind of everything. Like just everybody's been underperforming. And given the amount of money that Arthur Blank has put into this team, that's where there's clear disappointment.
There's also a sense of indifference from the fan base, and that, or
which is like the last thing them, we would expect. Yeah. It's just like this.
It's crazy how long ago it was, but in 2018 when we went there for MLS Cup and All-Star, I couldn't explain to you. I'm like, this is like, you know, Red Star Belgrade.
Sure.
The fan base. You know what I mean? And now it's like, it feels a little ho-hum. And that's a real, what an absolute fumbling of the bag by this front office.
Usually with teams that underperform, the crowd, you see that in the crowd as well. They're like, less people show up, less people are interested. And I don't know, maybe this is did Atlanta United fans get spoiled with the early success that they are still holding on to the fact that they won an MLS Cup and had a lot of really great season and really great moments, that they're not holding the team's feet to the fire as much? I don't know.
Or maybe it's just, this is part of a new, you know, soccer fan base, right? Like now is like, all right, now it's great when everything's going great. You guys have all these cool chants and these cool marches. Yeah, yeah. Now is where you got to call the front office, hold their feet to the fire.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Let us know what you think. Best kit.
Let's do best kit.
In MLS, I'll go the Seattle Sounders. I love this, the Salish Sea kit. I think what I appreciate, I love the color to it. And, you know, we talked about this, I think, in the beginning of the season. But there is a, you know, the shirt that you can wear anywhere, that's kind of my barometer. And this is,
you think this is a casual shirt?
Yeah, it's subtle, it's dark. If you wear it with like some dark jeans and stuff like that.
What were those hoodies that like white dudes who played hacky sack would wear?
Those hoodies, like, you know what I'm talking about? Ones?
They're like, they look like they're carpets.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Do you know
what
I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Like dudes who, like white dudes who would dreadlock their hair would wear them. That, this kind of reminds me a little bit of that. Like, yeah, you can wear it casually, but like people would be like, oh, like the print reminds me they're some Southwest.
Right. This is like, I think
I think it's tribal.
It's like indigenous.
Indigenous, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I love that. And I love that. And Seattle has always well represented, I think, the indigenous people, especially in the Pacific Northwest. So, this is.
There's something about this where like it's a little too, there's too much going on for me to feel casual. But sometimes you can push that boulder over the edge,
sure,
where it's so busy that it actually works. And that's my favorite. That's my best kit of the year so far. And that's RSL's checkerboard kit. Because
solid choice.
Which, look, yes, it's a lot. And you'll see it on screen here in a second. It's a lot. But
it's so much that it's like not a lot anymore. Does that make sense? Like, remember when I first told you I have an idea for a name for our podcast,
mm-hmm.
Cooligans, and I didn't say it, but in my head I was thinking, oh, it's so bad, it's good. And your first words were, wow, it's like so bad, it's actually good. I'm like, yes, that's this kid. Like, it's so busy that it's not anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love the clarity on the sides. First of all, it gives you an hourglass figure, right?
Yeah, which your boy needs. You've desperately been searching for it for years.
I actually might just stretch that to be flat, to be honest with you. But to me, this is one of those kits where I look at it and I go, not many clubs would do this. And it's absolutely amazing. I don't know. It's supposed to be the city. Apparently their city's a grid. This is, no one knows.
Well, this is how we learn.
Thank you. We're the ones with the grid. Nobody knows you.
Thank
look
you
at this.
For expressing this and is showing beautiful. Us your culture, RSL. No,
you could have showed us so many other parts of your culture. Thank you for sharing this one. But I think this is a bang up job by them.
All right. So well done so far. So mid season, that is our vote. We're going to talk some USMNT and US Women's National Team right after this, everybody.
Hey, we're back. Cooligans. The Cooligies are over.
The Cooligies are over.
We got to get better musical entertainment next year for the Cooligies.
The red carpet was nice, though.
It was. Ooh, step and repeat. Who are you wearing? So let's talk a little bit about U.S. soccer in total, right? Let's start with the men's national team, which has a Gold Cup coming up. There's a little bit of adjustments going on here.
Yeah, injuries.
Yeah. None of the starters want to play on this team, bro.
It's people. Are they faking the injuries? Mauricio, I caught something.
I got this thing. Bro.
I need to be out for 3 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, doctor says I need to be on a yacht because of the air. It's because of the fresh air. So it looks like of the list of people that are not going to be there, obviously we know Christian Pulisic is not going to be there. We know Weston McKennie is not going to be there. It looks like now Phil-Aaron Balogun is out with a knock.
Mm-hmm.
Sergiño Dest is the most recent not going to be there. And what is going on, man?
Yeah, so Sergiño Dest, I think, is the biggest surprise because we thought we were, like, Pulisic not being there, Weah not being there, but it's like, oh, but Sergiño Dest is going to be back. This is going to be his opportunity to really get back into the national team at that right back spot.
A player that we desperately need.
Yes, and they basically came out with a statement saying that they are basically sitting him so that he can rehab and train on his own individually to get back and ready for the next season. So
this is the last competitive tournament before the World Cup because we've essentially already qualified, right? Not essentially, we have already qualified because we're one of the hosts. So as upset as I am that he won't be taking part in meaningful matches before the World Cup, at the same time, I kind of also agree that maybe not risking it. Maybe fully letting him heal up so he could have a really good club season and walk into the World Cup at his best is probably the right move.
Sure. I hope for the best. I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 here. If he was on the roster and playing games, I wouldn't have been like, you're playing him too early. I would assume that if he's there, he's ready to go. But clearly, they don't feel that way.
So then we have to assume he's not ready. Or at least he's at the point now where maybe overextenuating circumstances or overextending his injuries would be bad. All right. So I'm fine with that. There is Yunus Musa is also not going to be there. And I know he's most likely going to be searching for a new club. It seems like he's out at AC Milan. I think overall the conversation needs to be had of like, come on, man. Like, I get it. There's good reasons for all these guys not to be there. But like it feels as if this is not maybe a priority.
It does. I mean, it makes it difficult to get excited about the Gold Cup. I mean, it's already.
Well, I mean, I kind of want to see some of that. We have the list of the roster, if we can put that back up. I'm excited to see some of these names get an opportunity with the national team. And some of the stars that we know of and love are going to be there, right? Like a Jenny Cardoso, who's rumored to be making a move to Atleti, is going to be there. Like,
right.
I'm excited to see that. Obviously, some other big names.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, look, we can just go through just this is the final list. Obviously, Chris Brady, the fire goalkeeper, Matt Freeze, Matt Turner, Zach Steffen injured.
Yeah.
So I believe Chris Brady was the one who replaced him.
He's recently been added, but this
gives a good opportunity for Matt Friess to get an opportunity.
Yeah, here. so we'll see Max Arfton, Alex
who almost made my best 11. Max Arfton, by the way,
Nathan Harrio, Mark McKenzie, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, John Tolkien is the replacement for Serginho Dest, which is that's a bit of a shock. His team gets relegated in Bundesliga. He didn't have as probably the contribution that he would have wanted. He would, I'm sure, but now he's going to be in two Bundesliga. So a bit of a surprise here, but there aren't that many solid American left backs available to, you know, that are
get
like
that good, green card, Kai Wagner,
good enough to be on the national
and
team.
And Walker Zimmerman, who comes in for the injury, he was an addition.
Yes.
After, but you know, a great center back.
Yeah. So I mean, all the other names are pretty.
Well, let's just
familiar.
Go through because we have already started. Okay. So Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams, Sebastian Berhalter, Johnny Cardoso, Luca De La Torre, Diego Luna, Jack McGlynn, Quinn Sullivan, and Malik Tillman. Great list. Malik Tillman having an outstanding season with PSV. Mm-hmm. He's the name that I'm excited. And then obviously for your forwards, you got Paxton Aaronson, Patrick Adjumang, Damian Downs, and Brian White. And Brian White, a player you put on your best 11 as well. So there are some names that are worth watching to see how they sort of develop.
It is. But this feels like, you know, one of those like Saved by the Bell, the new class.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 22.
Just one of those, there's going to be a lot of new faces.
This feels like
the chemistry. I don't even know what the chemistry is really going to be.
Remember ICC tournament? Like the first 20 minutes, you'd see the stars. You know what I mean? Unlimited subs. This is who you see start the second half.
So look, I'm hoping for the best, but I think the dropouts of certain players and resting certain players.
Does this create opportunity for some of these players to maybe shine and get a chance at the World Cup?
This creates opportunity for Dominican Republic to win the Gold Cup because they're not bringing the A squad.
Right? And Dominican Republic is bringing the A squad.
The Kelo K squad.
Yeah, yo.
We're going to be watching these games. This is why when we had our predictions about Gold Cup, I said if they make it to the semifinal, I think
they still have to be a final.
But because of what this roster looks like, still, I'm just like...
I grant you and I don't disagree, but I'm going to say the standard needs to be... Especially when Mauricio Pochettino out here saying that, hey, man, some of the players that are coming in from MLS are at the same level as the ones we're getting from... Well, then if that's the case, my guy, win.
I'll give credit to Pochettino. Pochettino's kind of doing what Emma Hayes is doing for the women's national team, and she's bringing lots of new people, lots of new names. There is
unearthing some real talent,
right? So, and then Paxton Harrison is also another pretty big shock. He had a fantastic season at FC Utrecht.
Yep.
Utrecht, and for that to get acknowledged. And to be on this roster with his brother, So I'm there's certain players I'm expecting a lot from. I if it works out, I mean, great. But if it doesn't work out, which is what I'm expecting,
right?
I'd be like, okay, well, this is what I expected. So we'll see.
Christian, I asked you, do you think any of these players might get a chance to at least shine enough to put themselves in the conversation for World Cup? I'm gonna ask you that about the women's national team now because Lola Bonta, friend of the show, got her first call up.
Yes.
She didn't start, but when she's come in, she's impressed.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little up there in age for a player we may consider.
She is the oldest.
Yeah.
Two star.
It's hard to consider that because she's also the tiniest.
right.
She's a pocket mom. But is this the type of player that you think can work their way into the Women's World Cup squad?
So the only thing I think against Lola Bonta is her age, because by 2027, she would be about 34. So in my opinion, watching her in these two games, I loved what I saw.
Hold on. Before you say that, let's go with, do you think she gets another call up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think she could maybe potentially start at that next call up? Because I do. I think she's shown enough where you're like, all right, I don't know based on her age if you're going to get a full 90, but I think she'll get a start or two. If that's the case, then I think the signs are she will get a call to the World Cup at the very least because she's a great locker room person.
Sure. And the TikTok content has been great as well.
What are we talking about? Plus, just goal
celebrations. Shout out to the Thompson sisters as well that are just doing, they're just doing the best dances on TikTok and then go out and just kick ass on the national team. It reminds me of an old, I remember Patrice O'Neill talking about this in comedy, that in comedy, there are people that it's only works of one of two ways. There are people that get things too early that don't deserve them, and there are people that get things too late that deserve them a long time ago. And she is, and Lola Bonta is the latter in that scenario. And
but she's also like refined her game to the point now where the pass that we were talking about before that she made to Lin Biondolo.
Yeah.
Moments like that, maybe she wouldn't have done if she was like 23.
Sure. Pop. Yeah. And there's something.
She sees the game as a veteran now.
And that, but that's the thing. It's like she walked onto the team, you know, she gets on the pitch and there's no. If you're 22 years old and you get that opportunity, you are nervous. You're nervous to make mistakes. Yeah. You're like, oh, I don't want the coach to be. What does she have to lose?
Nothing.
She's just like, yo, this is who I am. I got the opportunity to play here.
She's talking to Emma Hayes like, yo, remember cassettes? They don't know nothing about that, bro.
VHS? Those kids don't
know. Walkman? They don't know nothing about that. Remember when you couldn't move the CD player because it might scare?
She's doing New Edition dancing.
Paula Abdul joints out here.
Remember Cool Cat?
Damn. She knows your Saved by the Bell reference.
Right. So that's what I love. Look it up, children. What I loved is watching how she was reading the game while she was on the pitch in both games. She checking her shoulder the time. This is a veteran presence on the
very much so.
Over and over and over. And she made a fantastic pass in the game against Jamaica to Lin Biondolo. And where she made outside of the boot pass on
Travella's a pass, bro.
Caught Lin in stride. And as I'm watching it, she's 32 years old and I'm watching it like it's my, you know, 12-year-old daughter. Like, like, just do well out there, honey.
Save passes.
This is how I know we are just in different levels because she is just, she made that pass. And as she made the pass, I'm like, I said it to the TV. I'm like, Lo, don't do. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, never mind. Well, pleasure to meet you, Lo.
Well done. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry I doubted your game. but she, So as far as potentially being at the 2027 World Cup, I think she, even in just these two games, maybe she may not start in these games, but the veteran presence, the knowledge of the game, and still the ability to take those chances, and it's like she played with all these players for years. Like that was the coolest part, that she just did not look even slightly uncomfortable in both of those matches. So shout out to Lo. We're huge fans, and it's great to see her play well for the national team. It's a long overdue and incredibly well deserved. All right, last thing, Becky Sauerbrunn.
The ring of honor.
Thing we wanted to talk about that she got honored at the game against Jamaica. We saw Thierry Henry
leave a nice message.
Video message, and you see it was also her birthday. They gave her a birthday cake. All the players sang her happy birthday. She's also with child. She's having a baby.
Crazy.
One of the great moments was Katerina Macario, as they, I think the TNT crew or US Soccer or somebody gave her onesies for the baby, and Kat Macario did not know that Becky Sauerbrunn was pregnant. As most people, we did not know.
This is how I found out. Yeah,
and the face, or maybe we can get it. We can add it in post, but the face Katerina Macario was just, she was like. Like, just an absolute shock.
Yeah,
because it's odd for the entire locker room to know and you don't.
Well, she plays in Europe. You know, maybe she's not in the group chat.
Exactly, exactly. But no, Becky Sauerbrunn, we'll wrap up the show here. But yes, Becky Sauerbrunn and her getting acknowledged and honored is obviously incredibly important. But she is a player that doesn't get a lot of the headlines and never really did, even while winning World Cups and things like that.
But super consistent and a soldier, bro. When she was on the pitch, you knew you were consistency would be
exactly
automatic.
And it's one of those Virgil van Dijk, when we think a player that's like, you look at the heat map and they don't necessarily look like they're all over the place.
Don't tell you the story.
The stats don't tell you the story. That's what Becky Sauerbrunn very much is, and just tenacious. read the game incredibly well, and it, you know, is the reason why there was a lot of success, especially the last like 12 years for the U.S. Women's National Team.
So wait 17 years and a few months, and we'll have another sour bun back on the team.
All right, excited.
Is it a girl? I don't know.
we'll keep an eye out.
Let us know.
So shout out to Becky Sauerbrunn. Yes, she's hopefully we can get her on the show one day. She's also a really, really cool media personality as well. So Carter, put in the call. Send the emails you got to send to. Why isn't Becky on
Becky
right now?
Becky.Sauerbrunn@yahoomail.com. Just send this. See what happens.
Nobody else email that email. Just Carter.
Just Carter. Sorry if I should have not sent
that. Disregard. I know some people were like, maybe I should email, but do not do that. And we know everybody who listens to our show is a very good person.
And
he's going to listen to our instructions. So, yes. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another banger of an episode of The Cooligans. A reminder.
The Cooligies. You got to be a part of the Cooligies.
Exactly.
Someone design a trophy for us.
What would the Cooligie look like?
Well, I guess an award. It's not a trophy, right? It would be an award.
An award, yeah. But the statue. Like the statue.
The statue.
What would it look like?
What are the players that have won a Cooligie? What will they be handed? Please, let us know.
Either send, you know, comment with like.
Yeah. If you got a 3D printer, make it. If not, just throw a little design or a little sketch together.
We'll give you our PO box. Yeah. You can send us all your concepts.
You could come and hand us the first Cooligie. How about that?
We'd be honored to receive it. All right. But as always, make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Blue Sky. Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't yet. And hit the like button if you didn't. If it took you this long to finally do that.
Bro, right now, hit the like button. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you did it already. Do it twice.
Okay.
You waited long enough. You recharge your batteries.
Okay.
Your hips feel comfortable again.
We'll be back. Okay. Anyway. All right.
Wow. When he doesn't do anything,
we'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. And yeah, we obviously have. We'll be looking forward to Gold Cup and a lot of these other tournaments. A lot of stuff for the Cooligies in the summer that are going on. So be on the lookout for all of that stuff. As always, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans, if you want to join the Discord. And we'll be back on Monday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.